Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Always enjoy it when the great Jim Lampley drops by, of course, a veteran of sports television for a long time, and he's here for a couple reasons. The last few times he's been on the show, we talked about the book upon which he was writing called It Happened, A Uniquely Lucky Life in Sports Television. Well, that is out right now, brand new from Matt Holt Books. But also, we've got a great tilt coming up in New York City, and the fireworks get going on Friday evening. There's some big names, Ryan Garcia, Rolando Romero as well, Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney. Jim, welcome back to the show. And I see Ryan Garcia, and of course, that fight with Devin Haney. He ended up getting suspended from that. He very openly said, yeah, I'll drink and party and not train and I'll still win. And he was right. And I remember when he was up for suspension, I had Oscar De La Hoya on my show, and he kind of just sighed and said, well, you know, Ryan, what can you do? Ryan Garcia has now made amends, saying that's not the way I should be behaving. I apologize. Are we going to see a different Ryan Garcia, or do you think that that rage will still be there?
Well, that's part of the storyline, obviously, and we don't know. He has behaved so erratically in the past that regardless of what he says, we wait to see exactly what's going to materialize in the ring. Ryan Garcia clearly is wildly talented. The three knockdowns of Devin Haney in that fight, all of them delivered by his electric left hook, demonstrated, you know, a kind of talent and a kind of left hook that you may not think you've seen since the early days of Oscar De La Hoya or a few other particularly Latin fighters since that time. But at the end of the day, Ryan has a built-in self-destruct mechanism, which showed up in testing positive for an anabolic steroid named Osterine immediately following that fight, seeing the fight changed from a Ryan Garcia victory to a no decision, and winding up back here in New York with a redemption ticket against the very popular Raleigh Romero on a card that, as you point out, also has two other big-name fighters in representative events in an amazing setting, outdoors in Times Square. There have been a lot of interesting outdoor settings for boxing, going all the way back to the first heavyweight championship fight in 1891 between John L. Sullivan and Jake Kilrain in a swamp in Mississippi. But this may be one of the most unusual since then, and I'm fascinated myself to see under what circumstances I'm going to be calling live prize fights outdoors in Times Square in a situation where everything from crowd-controlled weather to any of the other circumstances that exist outdoors could take place.
Yeah, how many damp Elmos will be? Well, I can't even think of where they're going to put the ring. I can imagine it. But, yeah, that is an amazing place. And, by the way, you can watch these fights on DAZN pay-per-view, D-A-Z-N, PPV. And even better, Jim, you have the call. We've talked about live chat and such things, but blow by blow, you haven't done this for several years. How is that going to be back in the saddle again?
Well, either it's like riding a bicycle and I'll be able to fall right into rhythm and comfort and call fights the way I used to call fights, or I'll be a completely different animal as the result of the time that's gone by. But I, you know, what I can promise is that I'll work hard. I'll do the kind of homework I've always done. I'll put myself into the same frame of mind that I used to employ in my days of calling fights on HBO. There's no HBO anymore. The new pinnacle of the sport is this platform under the aegis of Turki al-Sheikh, a really intelligent Saudi Arabian sheikh who is looking to exert a big influence in boxing and help to bring back the biggest fights he can possibly make. And these three fights are a perfect example of that.
Yeah, Al Sheikh was just at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London and was remarking about what a great venue that was. He's definitely in the news. Let's talk about the book, Jim, It Happened. And we've talked about your career before, but I just think about like growing up as a kid in the 70s and wide world of sports, you know, the agony of defeat. And I tell kids that the only way you could see an NFL highlight was halftime during Monday Night Football. And here you are taking over for Jim McKay and Wild World of Sports. You're taking over for Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. How much of it, because this is hard for all of us, how much of it were you in the moment thinking, oh my gosh, I'm really doing this, as to just, hey, it's my job and I got to do a good job?
Well, first of all, I think it's a tiny bit of a stretch to say that I took over for Howard Cosell on Monday Night Football. I did the halftime highlights.
Right.
I did not intermingle with the other announcers in the booth.
You weren't
the
with Dandy Don.
I succeeded him as the halftime highlights guy. And then eventually, I succeeded him as the boxing guy at ABC Sports. So, yes, there was a progression from Cosell to me in terms of those two things, and also in terms of covering serious issues, news-related things in sports at ABC, as Howard kind of aged out, as people do. I got those responsibilities also, and you can imagine, of course, how much he loved me as a result of all that. I've done everything from wrist wrestling, barrel rolling, logging, motorcycles on ice, all of the circus events that made up a lot of wide world sports. Through the evolution of ultra-endurance sports, I was the first person to narrate an Ironman triathlon or race across America, a bicycle race from the West Coast to the East Coast. So I pioneered a lot of techniques that were involved in those kinds of presentations on wide world sports. It was fantastic experience. Went to 14 Olympics, mostly with ABC, but later with one for CBS and later for NBC. So I had many, many different experiences, and that's part of the content and context of my autobiography, It Happened. And at the moment that I started writing the book, I had every reason to suspect that my television play-by-play career was over with. But now, along comes Turki Alşık, along comes the opportunity to do boxing again. So at the same moment that the book is rolling out, it was published on April 15, I'm coming back on May 2 to do boxing. What a remarkable convergence, and once again, I'm lucky. You know, I didn't construct all that. It just happened.
Well, when you got the opportunity, you grabbed them with both hands. I want to get back to Howard Cosell with the boxing, because you reminded me, I think I was like a senior in high school, Larry Holmes is beating the snot out of Tex Cobb. He's bleeding, but he's a tough guy. He won't go down. And Howard, if I remember correctly, basically on the air was saying, this sport is broken, the referees are crooked, it's sleazy, I'm not doing this anymore. I mean, it was a huge, he basically quit on the air. Am I remembering that right?
The actual words were, this fight is an advertisement for the abolition of the very sport of which it is a part.
Wow.
And that's a classic Cosell locution, and that's the point he was making. I'm not sure that it's true that he never called another professional prize fight after that, but I haven't checked the calendar to make certain that that was the case. But yes, he was suggesting on the air on the night of Tex Cobb and Larry Holmes that this was the end, because he was too disgusted to continue calling the sport. Of course, at that point, he was well up in age. And who knows what were all the motivations that went into it. Howard was always larger than life, both in terms of his behaviors and his presentation.
Yeah, he did Battle of the Network Stars, too, I remember. All right, one more question for you, Jim. I have been very privileged in my 30-plus years of broadcasting to attend a lot of great events. I've never been to Wimbledon, and I'm a tennis fan, especially in the 70s and 80s, but I just think about the strawberries and cream and the, you know, the pomp and circumstance, and then, of course, the great, great tennis. And you were there for many Wimbledons. What's that like to be a part of that crowd there in Surrey?
You are correct to perceive that it is unique. It is overtly genteel, and that's part of the beauty of it. The crowd generally is well behaved because a lot of them represent the upper crust of English society, and even the others are behaving better than Englishmen usually do in a public situation like that. Certainly not like the people who come to English prize fights or the Rugby League Cup final at Wembley Stadium that I covered, but Wimbledon is in fact unique, and its influence on me was huge, largely because, number one, those telecasts on HBO were 5 hours live, eventually 6 hours live, no commercials, sometimes no commercials, no tennis, when the rain would fall, and it was interesting to see what we would do to fill all of the time. And I worked with some of the most amazing people in the world: Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova, Mary Carrillo, Arthur Ashe, especially Arthur Ashe, John Lloyd. I could go on and on about all of the amazing colleagues with whom I worked at Wimbledon, and the experience was so majestic and so enthralling for me that purple and green wound up becoming my favorite color combination, and there are elements of my household and my wardrobe which mimic Wimbledon's purple and green because it looks so good together.
Great stuff. Everyone pick up the book. It is out now, called It Happened, A Uniquely Lucky Life in Sports Television, available from Matt Hold Books. And as I mentioned, Friday, if you're in Times Square, get over to the fight. You can see the fights, DAZN pay-per-view, DAZN PPV. And in my mind, Ryan Garcia is the most interesting boxer on the planet right now. I really want to see how he responds. Jim Lampley will be doing the blow-by-blow for that as well. Jim, congratulations.
Ryan Garcia, when he's good, he's really good, and when he's bad, he's terrible. Let's wait and see what happens.
All right. Hey, Jim, great stuff. Congrats on the book, and we'll be listening to you on Friday, buddy.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right.